You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Yeah, turn to Genesis 3. We'll start there. I just got something on my heart I want to share with you. I was just meditating on this week. And a lot of voices in the world. You know, there's a lot of opinions in the world. You want to get your information, you know, about things in your life, circumstances in your life. There's a lot of places you can go to get information. If you want to get information about who you are, there's a lot of places you go to get information about who you are. And you know, you need to ask yourself these kinds of questions. You know, when you make statements about yourself and about your future and about your life and about your finances and about your body, you know, you need to ask yourself, you know, where did I hear that, and can I trust that? I mean, that's real important because, you know, you can talk to three or four different sources and get three or four different answers. And you have to have credibility, you know, when you're talking about quoting someone or something or so-and-so said or so, well, everybody knows, you know, we'll hear that. Well, you know what they say. And if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And yet, you know, when you get down to it, that's not always exactly the way it is. You know, well, everybody knows. Oh, I don't know that everybody does know that. Well, be reasonable. Well, what is reasonable? Being reasonable is, you know, taking all the information, putting it all together, and making a decision. That's being reasonable. But if you haven't taken God's word into account, how could you be reasonable? Because you sure don't have the ultimate source of truth if you don't know what God says. And a lot of people say that, oh, be real, be reasonable. You know, when you're believing God for something or you're standing on God's word. And yet they completely leave out everything God says. They may know about the weather. They know about the economy. They may know about, you know, scientific law and physical law. But, you know, there's always basically, you can categorize everything into, there's two kinds of knowledge. There's natural knowledge. There's spiritual knowledge. I think it was Philo of Alexandria. Y'all remember Philo of Alexandria? He was a Jew, wrote quite a bit of history right before the time of Christ. Actually was a student of Plato. He didn't study under Plato, but he studied a lot of Plato's writings. He was considered to be a student of Plato. But he was a Jew. And he wrote a very popular work. You can find it in Christian bookstores. It's called Philo. Real aptly named. And he was of Alexandria, Egypt. Alexandria, big learning center there. There were several Jews, Jewish community there. This is all right before Christ. And he said, and actually if you're taking notes, it was Francis Bacon that quoted Philo. That's where I read this. Sir Francis Bacon. And I'm going to tear it up, you know, in quoting it, chopping it up. But he said, natural knowledge or natural sense, the sense of man, is kind of like the sun. Y'all know what the sun is? It lightens up the terrestrial globe, okay? It shows us everything on this earth. But as long as the sun's out, you can't see the stars. And so until the sun goes down, the heavenly, the divine, the celestial, not the terrestrial, until the sun goes down, you don't see them, but they come alive and you begin to see them as the sun passes. And so he likened natural knowledge to that, and he's absolutely right. I couldn't disagree with that at all. The Bible very plain backs that up. Natural knowledge has its place. But, you know, we're talking about spiritual things. Natural knowledge doesn't have anything to do with spiritual things.
Yes.
You know, even if you were to go to a doctor, thank God for doctors, and he can tell you everything in the world, the natural about what's going on in your life, and whether there are natural cures or natural surgery or natural medicine or natural diet or things that you can do. But the doctor can't tell you about healing. Healing is supernatural. Healing is from God. Healing is spiritual. So that's why you need to be nice to the doctor, because he's doing his best job he can. He's telling you what he's an expert, a field that he's an expert in, that he's studied in, but he's not an expert, nor has he studied the field of supernatural healing. Are you out there? And so we thank God for what he tells us, and you get a lot of good from what he or she, the doctor, tells you, and sometimes there are surgeries that can help you. But you see, all hope is not lost when the doctor doesn't have any hope. Because healing is supernatural. That's another kind of knowledge. I mean, there's two kinds of knowledge. There's natural knowledge and then there's supernatural knowledge. I mean, these are categories of information. They don't overlap. You know, there's fields of information you go study in school. You can study math. You can study literature. You can study science. And, you know, and they're not, they don't merge.
Right.
Math is one field of information, and literature is another, and science is another. I mean, if you have an electrical problem in your house, you don't call a plumber.
Right.
You call an electrician.
Yes.
Because the plumber will come. He'll, you know, put his plunger in the light and pours a Drano down the light socket, and it won't work. I mean, is the plumber, you know, is he just useless and no good and ignorant? No, he's very good at what he does. It's just that he's good at plumbing. Electricians are good at electrician. So when it comes to spiritual things, who would you go to? Well, go to the Bible. Amen. And then start using your faith. Hallelujah. And it's not opposed to the natural in any sense of the word. I think sometimes we got a fight going on, you know, that we're the natural saying this and God saying this, and we got a battle going on here. There's not a battle going on. What's going on in the natural is going on in the natural. And what you see there and feel there is real. It's there. We don't deny that. But we're over here in the supernatural. We know of something stronger that will overcome that. We're not saying we're not sick. Don't feel the pain. We're just saying healing can overcome sickness and pain. We're not saying that, you know, that gravity won't, you know, hold this Bible down and pull it down when I let it go. We're just saying the law of lift overcomes gravity. I'm not fighting it and opposed to it. Gravity's real. I got something a little stronger. My arm. Hold this Bible up. So sure, there's problems in the world. But see, there's two kinds of knowledge. There's always two kinds of knowledge. There's always different voices. And one voice will tell you one thing, and not necessarily wrong, but it's only in one realm it's operating in. Hello. You know, I was thinking what Paul said about Jesus. He said he was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Exactly what he said. He said he was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit. That's an interesting way to say that. That's Romans, the first chapter. He says that. Everybody got Genesis? Hold your place there, because that's where I want to go to. I'm just treading water right now. Building a case, as it were. Jesus was the seed of David.
Yes.
Jesus was a man. No doubt about it. That wasn't all he was, though. That's what he was according to the flesh. According to the Spirit, he was the Son of God.
Amen.
See, you're more than what you are according to the flesh. And we tend to be experts on who we are in the flesh. We tend to be experts on what we feel in the flesh. We tend to be experts on what we see in the flesh. But see, do we even know what we are and what we have, what we can do and what we can be according to the Spirit? That's another kind of knowledge. No less powerful, in fact, more powerful. No less true, in fact, more true. But if we're limiting ourselves to just what we see and what we feel, then you know what? We're just limiting ourselves to the natural. And hey, we're super naturally.
Amen.
Amen? Now, notice this. This is interesting. In Genesis 3rd chapter, are you with me here? You tracking with me? Having our fireside chat in October in Texas when it's in the 80s.
Amen.
This is where, of course, this account, Genesis, the 3rd chapter, that's where Adam and Eve sinned, and they realized they were naked, and they cut fig leaves and clothed themselves. You know, God clothed them with skins. God shed blood to clothe their sin. So even way back in Genesis, we see the blood sacrifice and how it was necessary that blood be shed for sin to be covered. In fact, he gave them animal skins. They clothed themselves with leaves, but God, when he pushed them out of the garden, he clothed them with skins. Where did he get those skins? He had to shed the blood of an animal to do that. And so we see even blood sacrifice way back in the book of Genesis. And it came down to covering sin. Only blood will take care of sin. Only Jesus' blood will take care of it permanently. Amen?
That's right.
But it's interesting. It's just a little thing here I want to go over. You know, after they ate the mango. I mean, who knows? Everybody says apple, but we don't know it's apple. Mango makes sense because man goes when man eat mango. Man eat mango. You know, so. But whatever the fruit was that he ate, it says in the 7th verse, then the eyes both of them were open, and both and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, you know, where they were naked before or after, I don't know. I would speculate to say that they probably were clothed with the glory of God. They were clothed with such glory and such splendor that they didn't either realize they were, or they were just clothed with glory, you know. But they lost that glory, whatever it was, and they realized they were uncovered and naked after they sinned. Sin leaves you in that state where you're just completely, you know, insecurity comes in, fear comes in. He talks about how he was afraid and hid himself when God came in. That's a result of sin. Sin brings fear. It brings insecurity.
Amen.
Leaves you exposed, as it were. Notice it says, 8th verse, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves, for sin will make you hide also, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. There's a lot of people that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that are not here tonight.
Amen.
Because you don't tend to go to church when you're lost.
Yes.
Are you with me? You don't even tend to go to church when you're not right with God. You can even be saved, and you get it. Now, I'm not addressing everybody that's not here tonight. Don't go preach to that Sunday morning crowd. He just called you all a bunch of sinners.
Awesome.
I'm just saying that when you are in sin, though, you don't want to come to church. Anybody been there? Come on.
Yeah.
You don't want to get around God's people.
Yeah.
You don't want to read your Bible. You know, because you want to hide. You want to hide.
Don't want the mirror.
Yeah. Amen. It says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called Adam and said, "Where are you?" Now, did God know where he was? I kind of think he did. But I don't know for sure or certain, but you know, I'm pretty sure he knew where he was. But he's wanting him to come out and say something. Are you with me? So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now listen to what God says. And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Where'd you get that piece of information? And why did you act on that?" That's interesting that God makes that statement. You know, we'll say things like, you know, "I just don't think I can make it." Well, who told you you couldn't make it? "Well, I just don't think I could be healed." Okay, who told you you couldn't be healed?
Yeah.
Are you out there? You listening?
That's what happens, yes.
Because here's O Adam, see, and he says, "Well, we were naked and we hid ourselves." And God, first thing God says, now I think it's amazing, God, that's the first thing God says. "Who told you that? Where did you hear that? Did you hear that from me? That you had to go hide yourself? You were naked? Who told you that?" See, that's a good question. Why do we do what we do? I mean, where are we hearing these voices, and who are we listening to? And who told us that to start with? "Well, I'll never..." Oh, really? You'll never what? Who told you you'll never... Are you out there?
Yes, amen.
So, you know, you have to examine sources. You have to examine, what are you basing your life on? What are you basing your future on? What are you basing your dreams on? What are you basing your faith on? Well, I hope it's the Word. I hope it's the Word. Because there's a lot of other voices out there. And there's a lot of seemingly logical, reasonable voices that make good sense in the natural. But just like the sun that just lightens up the things of the day, natural knowledge has its place, but only in three-dimensional space. Amen. There's two kinds of knowledge, one earthly and one divine. And if you want to see the heavenly portal, you're going to have to open up to the divine. If you want to see what God wants for your life, if you want to see the promises come to pass, you're going to have to leave the natural, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
See, this is revealed. This is told me by faith. This is not told me from the natural. This is not revealed to me, and my flesh didn't tell me, and my natural upbringing didn't tell me, and my education in different fields of knowledge in the natural didn't tell me I could be healed. God told me I could be healed. He said by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. He said I could be saved. In fact, he said he saved me, and he said I am saved. He told me that. He did. God told me that.
Amen.
That's a revelation. That's not something I found out in the flesh. That's something I got by the Spirit.
Yes.
see righteousness and who I am in Christ and the things of God are only revealed supernaturally. They're not revealed naturally. Well, you know, Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For therein the gospel, the good news, the Bible, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. So the righteousness of God, and you might say anything that God has available, is revealed to us through God's Word by faith. Woo! Love that. So, you know, it's just something to think about. You know, and I want to go some other verses here, obviously. I'm not through. I'm just starting. When you get down or you feel hopeless or helpless and you feel like there's no way out and you can't do what God says you can do, you need to ask yourself, who told you that? Where did you get that little bit of information? I can tell you, God didn't tell you that. God has another thing to say about you and your future, you and your life, you and your health, you and your wealth, and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. This is good. You'll recognize this right off the bat. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea, you know, that was a city named after Caesar, you know, Caesarea. And actually over there they say Kaiser. They actually pronounce it Caesarea. Just thought I'd throw that out. Just a little trivia. Won't help anybody get saved, but it's interesting, to say the least. We just always say Caesarea, but it's the Caesar. They call him the Kaiser. Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say that I am? That's interesting. Because men always have something to say. Mankind has something to say about a lot of things. Mankind has something to say about Jesus. Mankind has something to say about God. Mankind has something to say about healing. Mankind has something to say about miracles, about answered prayer. I mean, there's psychologists, there's psychiatrists out there. There's sociologists. You know, we could go to Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung and see what he has to say about the matter, you know, whether God answers prayer or not, and all right on down the list. But see, these guys don't deal with that. That's not their area of expertise. And we'll often lean over and quote some psychiatrist or psychologist or Sigmund Freud or some wisdom of the day or what man says about whether miracles can happen or whether God really answers prayer. But that's not a matter for the psychologist and the psychiatrist. That's not a matter for the humanist. That is a matter for God and His Word. Amen. Who told you you couldn't get an answer to prayer? Who told you that? Who told you you couldn't get a miracle? Well, Jesus was just a man. Who told you he was just a man? Who said that? Who was it that said he was just a man? Does the Bible say he was just a man? Of course not. The Bible says he was man and God. Hallelujah. He was God in the flesh. And so, he said, whom do men say that I am? And answering the question, they said, some say John the Baptist. Isn't this interesting? Because now he just said, what do men say? Well, men don't even agree on things. You're going to ask one guy one thing about your situation, they're going to tell you one thing, another person another thing, another lady another thing. I mean, one thing for sure about mankind is confused. They just don't agree on anything. I mean, how many people are you going to ask? Are you going to go with a majority? I mean, say, okay, we'll just take a vote here or we'll take a poll, you know. Does that make it right because more people believe one thing than another? I don't know. Would you rather be the majority or the minority during the flood? Hey, how about Judgment Day? Truth's not determined by majority or minority. Truth's determined by what God says, period. Case closed. Don't put a question mark where He puts period. Amen? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah. Now this is interesting because Elijah, that would be reincarnation. And others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets, that'd be reincarnation. I don't know what that would be with John the Baptist because he was alive during Jesus' day and then died. So that would be some other kind of new form, you know, of transmutation, or I don't know what that was, where they just, but some weird stuff out there. And there are some weird ideals out there. But reincarnation been around a long time. People believed in it for a long time. Problem is, it's just not true. It's the point of man once to die and then the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that. So you're only going to die once and then the judgment. Amen? You don't get reincarnated. You might be raised from the dead after a day or two. That's happened. In fact, up to 4 days, Lazarus. But you don't come back as somebody else. You continue your life and then you die.
Right.
Okay. So, he tells them who different people say. In the 15th verse, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Man, that's important too. That's very, very, very important. Now listen closely. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. What matters is what you say. Okay? Because that's going to determine your future. That's going to determine your destiny. That's going to determine whether you get it or not. But then the question you must ask yourself before you say is, where did you hear that and who told you that? Isn't that right? Because we can say, of course, God determines our destiny. No, actually, God does not determine our destiny. God gives us choices, and we determine our destiny. God only gives us a few choices. He doesn't give us a lot of choices. Concerning eternity, He only gives us two, heaven and hell. But it's our choice to accept one or the other. And your life, you know, can take many different paths. I mean, you can go many different ways in your life. I don't believe that, you know, you're fated to be one thing all your life. Sometimes you may take a left or a right, or left over here or right over there, right, or you go straight, or you zig or zag, and God will work with you. I mean, He'll work with you. But His ultimate goal is to bless you. Are you with me? He may have a calling on your life or something, but He doesn't determine, you know, whether you get a black car, a white car, or a big house, or a little house, or are you with me, or you wear a red dress, or if you're a woman. He leaves us a lot of choices in life. Are you with me? And I believe He does work with us. Some people get all hung up on the perfect will of God for their life. But, you know, you can never know every single day, every moment, every breath, the perfect will of God. Thank God He gives us will and gives us choices. And His goal is to bless us and work with us just like you work with your children. Amen? But here, he's asking them, "Who do you say that I am?" That's important that Peter gets this right. How do you know when you get it right? That's a good question. You know, how do you know when you... that you're saying the right thing? Well, you sure don't need to be saying what everybody else says. You most likely will get it wrong if you say what everybody else says. Before you make a statement, ask yourself, who told you that? Where did you get that? Amen?
Amen.
And so he told them what men said, but see, Peter didn't say what everybody else said. He asked him, the 15th verse, "Who do you say that I am?" In the 16th verse, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Wow. So he was saying what God had revealed to him, what Jesus' Father and our Father revealed to him. And Jesus was pleased with that. He said he was blessed because of it. And he said flesh and blood hasn't revealed it. See, and the truths of the Bible are not revealed through flesh and blood. They're not revealed through the experts in the natural world, the natural realm. They're revealed from our Father. I mean, I get up feeling one way one day or hear news one day, and it can get you in a mood and get you in a good mood or a bad mood or whatever. But see, really, if I get in God's Word and get my information from God, I'm always going to make it. I always have hope. I'm always up. Are you with me? Because of where I'm getting my information. Who told me? Who told me that? Two kinds of knowledge, two kinds of information. And they're not necessarily, they're not necessarily opposed to each other. Just one of them is very, very limited, natural. And one of them is unlimited, supernatural. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. The things which are not seen, they are eternal." Wow. They're concrete. They're solid. They're unchanging. Hallelujah. The truths of God's Word will plow right through good economy, bad health, good health. I mean, the Word of God will just plow right through. It's eternal. It's unchanging. It's concrete. It's solid. It doesn't waver with the wind. Let the wind blow. We're standing on the Word. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, how can you be so confident? Because God said.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? God said thus and so, and here it is. And it may not look like it. I may not feel like it, but it doesn't matter. God said it, and it's the truth nonetheless, and I'm standing on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's gonna change all the other information. It's gonna overrule it's gonna pick the Bible right up off the platform. Gravity cannot hold it. I can tell you this, we sing that song, we don't, but I mean it's you've heard the song. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Why is that? Because of God's word. Even the grave, even corruption, even decay can't stop God's word from coming to pass. This corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality, and death will be swallowed up of life, and the grave will lose its victory, and death will lose its sting, sin will lose its sting. Hallelujah. It's going to happen, just like he said.
Amen.
And no disease can stop the healing power of God from coming. No depression can keep joy from coming into your life.
Amen.
If you begin to say what he says. Amen?
Yes.
And stop saying, what everybody else and everything else is saying. See, this is a principle. In fact, it says in Romans 8, turn there. Is this helping you?
Amen.
Romans, the 8th chapter. Man, everything around here is going to pass away like an old tale. I mean, come on. Here's what happens is we'll get in the Bible, hear a sermon, or get in church, or read a message, and get stirred up about God. And then the next day comes along, and the sun's shining. We step out, and we'll go, well, this is real life. One little snippet of time, this changes everything for us. We see it in the natural, and we think, well, this is real. No, this is not eternal. All this is going to change. Everything out here is going to change.
Right.
We're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You're more than this body that you're in. In fact, the real you is not that body sitting in that chair. The real you is looking at me out of those eyes. The real you is on the inside of you. And the real you is going to live on and on and on and on and on. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells us that. Romans 8, found it? Notice Paul speaking here. And he says, the fifth verse, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit would set their minds, it's understood he's saying, on the things of the Spirit. Everybody say things of the Spirit. Okay. So there are things of the flesh and there are things of the Spirit. But if you're all constantly in the natural and fleshly, thinking fleshly and not spiritually, and you're not believing, not trusting, not standing on the Word, you can't see spiritual things. They're cut off from you. It's like a spiritual sense, which is faith. It's like a sense that you just lose. People talk about losing their faith. Well, that'd be like losing your eyesight or losing your hearing or losing your feeling.
That's right.
If you lose your faith, then you lose access to a whole dimension and a whole world. And that would be the world of God, the things
wow.
of God. And I don't want to lose my faith because then I can't detect the things of God. They're there all around me, and I can't even access them because they're gone. I don't hear them. I don't see them. I don't feel them. Because my faith, I'm not believing. I just go by what I see. Well, that's not actually true. You go by what you feel, see, smell, and hear. If you smelt smoke in here, you'd run. You may not see it, but you'd smell it burning. You'd get up, something. You know what I'm saying? You smell smoke in your kitchen, you'd run. You'd run in there and find out what was going on. You may not hear a thing burning. You may not feel the flames or nothing, but you're in the living room and you smell smoke. So you go by smell and you go by sight. When you're driving down the road and a car's coming, you go by sight. If it crosses over into your lane, you don't wait till you feel it before you do something. You don't stick your nose out the window and smell it coming. You got all these senses that operate in all these different areas. Sight operates in the realm of seeing and hearing in the realm of hearing and smelling, the realm of smelling. Well, faith operates in the realm of God and the supernatural things of God. I mean, it's ridiculous to try to believe for healing with your hands. Well, I just got prayed for. I don't feel any different. Well, would you come up here to feel a healing, or did you come up here to believe for healing? Now, granted, you will feel it eventually, but it doesn't necessarily have to happen right away. I can see that door back there, and we'll walk out that door when the service is over. But just because you can't touch it right now doesn't mean it's not real. Your sight reveals it to you. And if you walk according to your sight, you will eventually touch it.
Wow. Amen.
Isn't that right? And so if we walk by faith, we will eventually come in contact with our senses, the thing that is revealed to us by faith. And so there's all kinds of voices in the world and information in the world, but if you cut yourself off from God, you have just lost access to all the things of God.
That's beautiful.
Why would you do that? See, to be spiritually minded, the Bible says, is life and peace. He goes on and says here, to be spiritually minded is... To be carnally minded is death, 6th verse. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Woo-hoo! I love that. I love that, man. You know, I'm saved. And who told me that? God told me that. And I'm healed. God told me that. And I got a bright future. So bright I got to wear shades. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more into that perfect day. Well, I've been made just. I've been made holy. I've been, by God, God made me. He washed me in His blood and He made me righteous, and I don't even have my own righteousness. Having not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So He made me holy, made me a saint, and I got a bright future. I'm just, and the path of just is a shining light that shines more and more into that perfect day. That's me. Who told you that? God told me that. Are you with me? I'm coming through this thing. I'm going to make it. Well, who told you that? God told me that. He said, greater is He that's in me. He's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. He gives me the victory through Christ Jesus, and He always calls me to triumph in Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
God before me, who can be against me? Now, that's what God told me. You may not think you can make it, but you can. Depending on who you're listening to. Amen. If you'll start operating in faith and start getting another source of information, I'm amazed how educated we are in all the natural things that we're going through. If it's a sickness or disease, we know every ailment, we know every pill to take and the progression, the symptoms and what happens, and I'm not dissing that. Stay with me. I understand we need to know what's going on and use wisdom with our bodies. But God forbid we go through something like that and not just bury ourselves in the Word and find out what God says about healing, memorize those verses and start saying those to combat that, to come against that. Hallelujah. Glory. 1 Corinthians 2, turn there. Glory. We're just going through the Scripture. I hope I stimulate your thinking, you know. I have to shock myself sometimes. I have to get myself back on track sometimes. You know, because you kind of... It's not the deep things that, you know, that slip away. It's the simple things that slip away. Because we don't go over them. We don't do them over and over and over. Notice this, and this is familiar too. I'm amazed even when you think about it. When they crucified Jesus, you know, this is where it talks about the princes of this world, had they known they would not crucify the Lord of glory. And the reason they didn't know, because they didn't have supernatural knowledge. And they didn't see Him for who He was and didn't realize that He was going to rise from the dead. And even the devil himself thought he killed Jesus, and all he did was plant Him, and what you plant comes back up and multiplies.
Amen.
And so now He doesn't just have one Jesus. He has got hundreds of thousands of millions of Jesus for the last 2,000 years. All of us are little Jesuses.
Amen.
That He's having to deal with. I'm not the Son of God, you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is we are the body of Christ and members in particular. And so whatever He did, now we all do, praise God. Now we're all a problem for the devil. He just had no idea. He didn't understand. He didn't have that kind of wisdom. Worldly wisdom. The world by wisdom knew not God. Wrong kind of wisdom, see. Listen to the wrong voices. Pretty smart in the natural, but just doesn't know anything about the supernatural. And this is where it says that, 6th verse, 2nd chapter, 6th verse, 1 Corinthians. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Are you with me? They just didn't have the right information. They weren't listening to the right voices. But as it is written, ninth verse, listen to this. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the mind of man is what he's saying there actually, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Stop. That's what most people do, is stop right there. It always fascinates me. You know, they have an old hymn, I have not seen. Woo! Ear have not heard. And they're talking about going to heaven and so on. But this is not talking about going to heaven. And this is not talking about finding out one day. This is not talking about the great waking up morning. This is not talking about the sweet old by and by. This is talking about the things of God that I won't show you, that ear won't reveal to you, that your mind can't grasp. Just like those rulers that crucified Jesus, they were so smart. They couldn't get it. They were smart in the natural, see? And so they didn't see or understand anything supernatural. And like I always say, I say this a lot, that you can be too smart to get this, but you can't be too dumb to get it. Amen. You can be too smart to get it, but all you got to do is believe and you can get it, see? But we usually don't get it because we're too smart. We don't obey God because we have a better deal. We're too smart. We don't get our miracle because we're smarter. That's not real. We're too smart to get it. And here it says, I hadn't seen. Well, no, the eye's not going to see this. It's not going to detect this. You know, if I can just... I can't see a smell. Can you see a smell? Can you feel a sight? Well, no. I mean, that's ridiculous. We understand the senses and understand how they operate. Well, now, we're trying to see something only faith reveals. We're trying to feel something only faith reveals. We're trying to taste something only revealed by faith. If something was, you know, a mile away, I'd need a telescope. There's no sense in trying to look at it from here. I need a telescope, something to help me do that. If something was like microcosm, I'd need a microscope. You know, you need something to help you see that realm. It's beyond your ability right now to see, because it's just in another realm. And the things of God are that way. Faith is like a sixth sense in that sense. It's a spiritual sense. It's a spiritual detector. You're not going to see these things in the natural. Eye does not see, ear does not hear in the heart or the mind of man. The things of God, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But, 10th verse, but God has revealed them unto us through His Spirit. Wow.
Amen. Yes.
Not one day, not going to. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Wow. So it's only by the Spirit I'm going to find out the things of God. I'm going to experience the things of God. I'm going to walk in the things of God. I'm going to fulfill my dreams, hopes, and destiny in God. It's only through the Spirit, through faith, through believing. That's the only way that's going to happen. It's not a matter of the natural. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It may not make sense in the natural. Of course it didn't make sense in the natural. How do you make sense out of the blood of Jesus Christ washing your sins away? How do you figure that one out? Write that out on a piece of paper and explain that to me in the natural. His blood washes my sin away. Are you with me? I believe that. I've had that happen to me. I've been saved. I've been born again. But I can't explain that in the natural. Woo! I sure know it's true.
Wow!
I sure know by the Holy Ghost. I know it's true. The inner witness, the inside. I know something happened to me. Praise God, changed my life. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except, or by the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. So you're not smart enough to get healed. No, you believe. You just open yourself up to God and you receive from the Spirit, and He reveals to you. To even to believe that Jesus is the Christ is a matter of faith. It's not something that's revealed in the natural. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. In fact, all the negative stuff that you can pick up on so easily in the natural, you need to ask yourself, just like God asked Adam, who told you that? Because most of what you're told in the natural, what you feel in the natural, what you see in the natural, what you hear in the natural, most of that is negative. Most of that is hopeless. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in believing and trusting in what is revealed to us by the Spirit, not what's revealed to us by the world or by the flesh or by our senses. And he makes this whole case here. I'll wrap this up. For what man knows, I mean, here's Michael on the front row. I don't know what he's thinking about. He may be thinking about air conditioning. I don't know. But if I sat down with him, I could find out. He would reveal to me, because his Spirit in him would reveal to me what's going on inside of him. I can't just look at his flesh and tell that. See, Jesus even told the Pharisees, he says, you judge unrighteously because you judge according to the flesh.
That's right.
And Paul said this. He said in 2 Corinthians 5, I believe it was 16, he said, I know no man after the flesh anymore, though I have known Jesus according to the flesh. We don't know him after the flesh anymore. And then he says, if any man be in Christ, 17th verse, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Now notice he junctured that with first saying, I don't know anybody in the flesh anymore. Because in the flesh, we just look like flesh like everybody else looks like flesh. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. So if you're going to judge the flesh, it's always going to be unrighteous judgment. It's always going to be wrong judgment. Remember when Paul was called to be an apostle and he had that vision on the road to Damascus in Acts the 9th chapter? In Galatians, he said, when God chose to reveal his Son in me, he said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. First chapter, he says that. In other words, I didn't check it out and see if it was made sense in the natural. It was a revelation from God. It didn't have anything to do with the natural. He even said in the 11th verse, the first chapter of Galatians, he said, I certify you, brethren, this gospel that I preach, I did not receive it from man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now see, he was putting a divine line there. There's man's knowledge and teaching, and then there's revelation. There's what the world says and man says and what I know in the natural. Then there's something I know supernaturally. And he said, I certify you, brethren, I did not receive this from man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And he goes on that same chapter and says, when God chose to reveal his Son in me, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. Well, God says we can be healed. Let's go talk to the doctor about that. No, wait a minute. Thank God for the doctor, but you don't need... He can't tell you about healing. Yeah. Well, God says you want to bless me. I better go look at my checkbook. Yeah, well, I think you need to balance your checkbook and use some wisdom. Hello? But prosperity is a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
Woo! Are you out there?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. I just keep chiseling away and hammer it in. Notice what it says here in the 11th verse. For what man knows the things of man, say the spirit of man which is in him... Even so, the things of God, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. If you want to know what God's doing, you're going to have to get with the Spirit. Spend time with, hang around Him. Amen? Pray. Get your Bible out. Run through the Scriptures. Start trusting and believing. Now we have received, 12th verse. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now this is a fascinating way to say this. Now we have received. Now we have. Now we have. Everybody say we have. We have already done, went and done it. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world. We already had that one. Hello. Now we have received the Spirit of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Amen.
It's not an intellectual thing. It's not a mind thing. No, we've received the Spirit of God that we might know. We've not received natural information that we might know. Not this report and that report that we might know. Not this person's advice or opinion or that person's expertise. But we have received the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Who told you that?
Amen.
Did the Spirit of God tell you that? Did the Bible tell you? Is that in the Scripture? Is that what God says? Who told you that? Before you start, basing your life on something and messing up. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Freely. Everybody say freely.
Freely.
And I've been given the spirit that I might know them. And these things also, it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. Well, I just don't see how that could ever happen. Well, you're never going to see how it's ever going to happen in the natural. You cannot see in the natural how these things happen, because these are supernatural things. Well, I know what God says. I see that. But I just don't think I can. Well, who told you that? But it sure doesn't look like, well, okay, I have not seen. Y'all catching this? See, we have to examine our sources. What do we base our statements on? What do we base our life on, our confession on? Better be God. And we need to tap into faith and start trusting God and not our feelings and not what we see and not our experiences. Amen. You know, everybody's had experiences, some good, bad, or indifferent. Everybody's got opinions. They're like elbows. Everybody's got a couple of them. But this is not a bad opinion. It's not a bad experience. It's about what God reveals through His Spirit. And that's a question we got to ask ourselves. In fact, you might call this, Chris, back here and back, who told you? Who told you that? So what is your future? This would be homework for you. You know, what are you thinking about your life? What are you thinking about your... Are you being negative about your life? Are you being negative about your marriage? Are you being negative about your finance? Are you being negative about your health? Or are you being positive about it? Whatever the case may be, you need to examine sources and ask yourself, when you make these statements and you have these visions and you see yourself in the future, bad, good, whatever, ask yourself, who told you that? And if God didn't tell you that, you need to get back in the book, amen? Yeah. And you need to get back in faith and start saying what God says about your situation. I know I'm blessed and can't be cursed. Hello? Because the Bible tells me that. I know I got a bright future. I know me and my household will serve God all the days of our lives. Goodness and mercy is going to follow us all the days of our lives. Because God says that. I don't say that arrogantly, because I got nothing to do with it. It's God's promise other than just believing. But that's what God told me, and I'm taking it to the bank.